It's time for 92.9 The Game Tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Yeah, bro. Like I say, just turn up and listen.
That's the way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome in Atlanta. It is. I was going to say the APTL show. I always forget the show's not called that. 92.9 The Game Tonight, baby. Here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the Odyssey app. Abe Gordon here taking you for the full three all the way till 10 o'clock. And look, here's the deal. We are in football season, and I've got one show a week now. And I've got to get through college football. I've got to get through the NFL. We got the Braves in a pennant chase. Excuse me, not pennant chase, but a wild card chase. In the last month of the baseball season, we got a lot to get to and not that much time to do it. And, oh, by the way, Atlanta United made potentially a franchise-defining decision today. We're going to get to all of it and more. But I got to be honest, and I did not plan to start the show out this way. This just happened. And I'm talking about like 4 minutes ago. I just burst into the studio, said, Orin, look what happened. It finally happened. And I just put this on Twitter too, both the accomplishment and a separate question. What's the accomplishment that happened in your life that you got way more excited about than really you needed to? Like something you just completely overstated. Because, and look, I'm not the only one that this has happened to, but I was hoping at some point it would. I finally got today's Wordle in one. That's right. Put me up on that wall. I got the Wordle of the day in one. I've had the same starter word since the beginning of this thing. Very meticulous, crafted. It was science, really, the starter word that I had. I obviously can't share it today for those who maybe haven't played Wordle yet today. I could have missed it. It is 7 o'clock. Normally, I play Wordle first thing in the morning. Somehow, I didn't do that today. I could have missed it, and it would have been the one chance that my starter word would have been the Wordle of the day. Do you know how devastated? I cannot explain to you. Not that I like would have known, but if someone had told me at some point that I missed my opportunity to get it in one, I would have been broken. I might have stopped playing forever. I don't know why I still play. It's just something to do to kill time, whatever. But I got the Wordle of the day in one, and I am wildly hyped about it. I heard it could happen, Orin. I didn't know what happened to guys like me. And now I have to figure out if I just keep the same starter word because I've got this path of words down. Or do I, like, go chasing? Do I chase that dragon of getting it in one again? Change up my starter word? I don't think so. I'm keeping it because it's such a good word and it works for my path. But, man, I mean, what a thrill. What a feeling. Is this like what it feels like to win the Super Bowl? No? Do I get a ring? A banner? Not even here. We got some space here. Nothing else is hanging from the rafters that these TV lights are on.
Just remembrance of the day that Abe
had his word. Can I write my... Look, I just put new paper in the printer. I could print one up right now.
I don't know. I
were you a kid when you used to make banners? We had like a banner.
Banners, yeah.
We had a banner making program on whatever Windows 95. Used to make banners. I can Microsoft Paint myself a banner with a date, Wordle in one, Hall of Fame. Do you think anyone else, someone else here at 92.9 has to have gotten Wordle in one, right?
Yeah, I've gotten Wordle in one before.
You don't count.
Well, excuse you?
Well, you weren't supposed to say that.
I'm sorry.
You were supposed to make me feel like it's an unreachable accomplishment.
I've only done it one time.
Because you kept the same word?
Exactly.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Just once.
I remember
it was,
when
it was like a and I don't think I used a variation of the word either.
I remember when it's happened twice. I think like one time the word that was the word of the day was adieu, and a lot of people use that as their starter word. And then another one, obviously, I think it's already happened, was audio, which would be a great starter word for us in the radio business. But I think audio was the word of the day once in like 20% of people, like just got it in one. But today was my day.
I got it in three.
That's a good starter word, though, isn't it? Yeah, you know it is.
It's a very good word.
You
yes.
know it is.
Very good word.
That's right. That's right, baby. All right, enough about me. Let's get to the sports. I'm sorry. I did not expect to go there. I am just wildly hyped. And for those of you who listen to me on a regular, like, you know how energetic and amped up I am regularly? Like, this is like a whole new level. And how about that? I might have to dial down a little bit when we talk about the Falcons. I might blow the top off. Speaking of the Falcons, again, because I'm only doing shows on Wednesday in season, we're going to be previewing the Falcons game every week when I do my show on Wednesdays. We're also going to be talking college football, plenty of discussion there. We'll look at the entire NFL and college football schedule. We'll keep an eye on the Braves in their pennant. I keep saying pennant chase. It's like habit. The Braves are not used to fighting for wild cards, but that's where they are. And fight, oh, fight is what they're doing. We'll get to that as well. And then again, Atlanta United news today. Jason Longshore is going to join me at 9 o'clock. We're going to chat about what happened today, the dismissal of Carlos Bocanegra. Garth Lagerwey is going to assume the technical director duties. And look, we'll get confirmation from Jason, but you got to hire a manager. You're probably going to hire. I don't think Garth's long-term plan is to be the tech director. So you'll hire a new one, and Atlanta United is going to have a makeover off the field. On the field, we'll see how much really changes. But off the field, certainly there will be a little bit of a makeover. We'll talk with Jason Longshore at 9 o'clock about that. All right, couple things. Raheem Morris joined Dukes and Bell earlier today. We're going to check in and listen to a little snippet of that conversation later in the show. The big news, though, of the day that has everyone a little bit nervous is Kyle Pitts. Limited at practice, hamstring injury. Raheem Morris said it was nothing to be concerned about. You know, Zach Robinson said he didn't look limited at all today. But with the history of Kyle Pitts, and it's less about the history of Kyle Pitts, more about what he means or could potentially mean to the offense this season. Like, no offense to Ross Dwelly, but like if Ross Dwelly had a hamstring injury, people aren't freaking out about the impact it would have on the offense. And again, no offense, man. Like, I'm sure you're a cool dude, but like, you get it. He knows. He has to know. I mean, remember when Bradley Pinion missed practice a bunch last season? Everyone's like, all right, man, whatever. Young Wei Cool go punt. Who cares? But this is different. And it's about the impact that Kyle Pitts should be having on the offense. And so I understand the concern. I'm going to take them at their word. It was precautionary that they think he's going to be good to go. He went on Monday, was a full go there. So we'll see about that. Little piece of news that I had missed that maybe you guys are aware of, but Nathan Peterman added to the practice squad. Peterman as a quarterback there. So we do have three quarterbacks in the rotation there, emergency as needed. Into the Atlanta Braves, who we're going to be going in. I'm not going to have a ton of Braves discussion tonight just because we're so – I'll be honest. Most of these Wednesdays, until the Braves reach the postseason, is going to be full, like, football mode. I'll fit them in where I can. But just being honest, like, we'll have updates throughout the show. It is Ludacris night. Ludacris has got, like, the big stand-up music videos, like some of the makeovers and accents from the stand-up video. I'm a huge Luda fan, too. Like I think we've talked about this, Oren. Like, he's probably my favorite rapper. And I'm not trying to argue who the best. Look, everyone has their own preference. I'm not trying to get into that. He's probably my favorite rapper. And that's, like, separate of all the Fast and the Furious stuff, which I also obviously love. I'm jealous of Ludacris night tonight because there's a bobble, and I'm not going to get one. And that one hurts.
That resale is going to be crazy.
I'm not going to buy one. I would never, like, but if anyone wants to trade the Chick-fil-A cow bobble that I have
now
for a Luda bobble.
They redid the Outkast bobblehead.
I mean, I know.
They might be, you know, the future could hold another ludicrous night for another bobblehead, Abe, so you never
know. It's possible, but, like, you know, I'm not going to go out of my way. But if any of our fearless listeners happen to grab one and they're like, yeah, I don't want this that much. I'm your guy, man. Hook it up. DMs are open. They always are. Until I get too much harassment, then they'll go closed. I'm still good, though, so far. I only get called an idiot like once a month. That's a pretty good rate for me. The Braves last night, though, Chris Sale locked down. Iglesias. Rysel Iglesias, NL reliever of the month for August. Did you see what his whip was in the month of August? 0.15. Like 0.15. Not 1.5, which would be terrible. That'd be like Will Shaky Smith sort of stuff. 0.15 for a whip. That's unreal. Chris Sale, another outstanding effort. The streak that he's got going of consecutive games with two or less earned runs is wild. The Cy Young is headed his way. He's just got to get one or two more solid outings and close that out. He took over MLB's ERA lead. He closed over 200 strikeouts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Finally, it's not entirely locked out, but he's clearly a front runner there. But the Braves are in a battle. The New York Mets have won 6 straight. They've won 8 of 10. They're hosting the Red Sox again tonight. They'll have an opportunity. So the Braves have got to keep winning. There's no doubt about that. And one other thing I'll talk about a little bit when we get to outside the perimeter more in general, but a couple of Atlantans are going to be fighting for a Grand Slam. Taylor Townsend and Donald Young, they're both from Atlanta or have spent serious time here in Atlanta in the case of Taylor Townsend. They're playing for the mixed doubles final at U.S. Open. And Donald Young, if you guys remember, not that everyone's the biggest tennis fan in the world, but he was, like, hyped up as the next guy after Andy Roddick, and it just never really came about. But glad to see him still fighting there. And this is his retirement match. He's done after this. So hoping he can pull a final victory there. And then speaking of, you know, the next great American, we'll get to it in outside the perimeter, but Tiafoe and Taylor Fritz, one of those two guys is going to be in the U.S. Open final. So there will be an American in the U.S. Open final, men's, and then we'll see if Jessica Pegula can maybe rally and get to the women's final, as well. All right. Big question that I have for you all today, and we're going to be taking calls on this, 404-726-0929. It's about the Atlanta Falcons. It's about week one, right? Like, we've been optimistic about the Falcons' chances this season. It's been a summer of optimism, no doubt. But Sunday's the first chance to really drive home how we feel about this team. So I have one question that we're going to talk about here on the other side, 404-726-0929. What do you need to see in week one? What do we actually need to see on the field to be big believers in the Falcons this season? What are the specifics you're looking for to drive home the optimism you've held throughout the summer? 404-726-0929. That's the question we're asking. That's what we're going to be answering on about 5 minutes here on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back in 92.9. I didn't know if this was the instrumental or lyric version.
Oh, it's definitely the
instrumental. I was waiting, and then it didn't drop. I was like, all right, I'm probably going to start the segment Go ahead and get going. I am seeing a musical on Friday there in Sandy Springs. I'm going to go see The Music Man. So this song, which obviously, you know, Jay-Z's version, but also from Annie. So made me think. It got me excited. You know, going to see another show, tunes, and get a whole setup there on Friday. But that's Friday. And today's Wednesday, and we got a lot of stuff to get to. And my headphones caught in the chair. I finally free it. There we go. Here on 92.9 The Game tonight. Again, it's Abe Gordon live in the Kia Studios. I put the question out on Twitter. We're also going to take some phone calls, 404-726-0929. You can follow me on Twitter /X at Abe Gordon there. And the question's simple. I mean, look, I've been optimistic. You guys, for the most part, have been optimistic all offseason here about the Falcons' chances. But we've always needed to see it. For a couple of different things that we need to see. And the question is, what is it that you're looking for? What do you actually need to see week one to kind of confirm the optimism that you've had, to be big believers in the Falcons this season? What is it that you need to see? We're going to take your phone calls in a couple of moments on this question. We'll get some social media responses as well. Again, at Abe Gordon on Twitter /X. 404-726-0929 if you want to get in line behind Big J and Xavier here in just a moment. But I want to share some of my thoughts on this first. And so when I sat and thought about what I wanted and needed to see here in week one to believe the hype and the optimism that I've put on the Falcons this offseason, here's what the list looks like. I need to see Kirk Cousins healthy and protected, right? We've talked about it. We haven't really seen it. He did not play in the preseason. He looked good when we saw him, right? But we're talking about, you know, a Friday practice at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and then, you know, some of the practices we attended there at Flowery Branch. Yeah, sure, he looked good in practice, but I need to see it in game, right? And I know it's a little bit different, but if the Falcons were in the position that the Jaguars were in, right? Remember when the Jaguars had their starters out there and Trevor Lawrence led two touchdown drives and got out of there? Like, wouldn't you have felt a little bit better if that's what had happened? And not that I'm necessarily concerned, but I need to see it. We're told that he's fully healthy, no limitations, all good. Want to see it, though. Zach Robinson and his play calling. As much as I have confidence in him, I have to be honest, he is still a first-year play caller as an offensive coordinator. So I want to see the offense get off to a slow start. Get off to a fast start and avoid a slow start. I'm looking at the usage of Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson as well. Ideally, they can just physical their way into big plays, but if not, scheme them open. Like, that's what we were missing last year, is the ability to scheme big plays. I'm hoping that comes elsewhere. What about the pass rush? Can it come from multiple places? I don't want to be stuck just relying on Matthew Judon tonight or in week one to get all of the sacks. The pass rush needs to come from more than just one guy. I'll be looking for that. Because if that can happen, again, we're talking about what I need to see in week one that can really confirm the optimism I've held throughout this offseason. If I could see pass rush coming from multiple parts, that will certainly help. And then the last one, the big concern on defense for me remains the cornerback two position. Are they able to limit the Steelers in what they're trying to do offensively? So that's my list. We'll get to yours. Again, Kirk Cousins healthy and protected. Zach Robinson's play calling. How Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson are used. The pass rush coming from more than just Matthew Judon. And what the Falcons cornerback two can do to limit the Steelers wide out. So that's what I'm looking for. What about you? 404-726-0929. Again, we've been optimistic all offseason, but now we get a chance to see it. And if I can see it, even if it's just one example, right? Even if it's just week one, if I can see it, that'll for me go a long way to confirming the belief that I have that the Falcons are the best team in the NFC South, that the Falcons can contend with teams like the Lions, the Eagles, the Packers, etc. and potentially get to the NFC title game. What about you? What are you looking for in week one? 404-726-0929. Let's start at the top, line one. We've got Big J. What's going on, Big J?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, long-time listener. I listen every day. I'm in the car with the next generation. I got Jackson and Jet, my sons, in here. And we think that the Falcons have to score touchdowns instead of field goals. And Jet, what else they need to do?
They need to be able to convert in the fourth down.
In the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
The
fourth quarter. That's it, guys.
Well, I appreciate the call there, Big J, and to the boys as well. Appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate you guys growing up Falcons fans. It hadn't necessarily been easy over this past decade plus. A couple of things. Hopefully you don't have to execute in the fourth quarter because hopefully it's not competitive. Like that'd be the ideal situation if we're going to be honest. I don't want this to be a close game in the fourth quarter, but to your points, the defense needs to get stops in the fourth quarters, right? That's what we're talking about for the most part there. That's what Big J's kids are describing. Too many games were lost in the fourth quarter last year, specifically because the defense couldn't get off the field. And it's not all on the defense. That goes to the offense as well. Not sustaining drives, putting a tired defense back out there, not scoring in the fourth quarter. I get all of that. I agree. But I also wouldn't mind if this game were kind of a blowout there in the fourth quarter. So I'm looking for that. I appreciate the call. What about you guys? What do you need to see in week one to confirm your beliefs about just what this Falcons team can be in week one? We go over to Xavier. What's going on, Xavier?
What's going on, Abe?
How you doing, man?
You kind of touched on two of my points. One, I wanted to see how Kyle Pitts is used and if he's eating. Because we know Drake London going to find ways to eat. Bijan is a freak athlete. He's going to find ways to eat. But it's not until I see Kyle Pitts actually eating as well. That's when I have confidence that, okay, we actually have some offense, an offensive play calling to get everybody involved. If Pitts is, you know, somewhere nowhere to be found again, I'm going to worry. The second one is, of course, the pass rush. Honestly, I didn't have a lot of optimism in the team as a whole until Judon and Simmons came because I just felt like it's going to be another one of those scenarios where we have to score a lot of points because our defense isn't going to be able to keep people out of the end zone due to lack of pass rush and lack of number two corner and who else is going to back in. So I need to know that we're actually going to be able to get some consistent pass rush. And like you said, not just from Judon, but from other folks as well. So I need to see Nick Harris. I need to see, you know, AK finally, and whoever else gets coverage on some pass rush.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Xavier. And look, I'll be honest. I don't think this is going to necessarily be a Drake London game. I think this needs to be a Kyle Pitts game. Bijan, too, obviously. I think every game needs to be a Bijan game. But I think there are going to be some games in which Kyle Pitts does more damage and others in which Drake London can eat. I don't necessarily like have a blueprint for what the Steelers are planning to do defensively. But I would imagine that they're going to work as hard as they can to put Joey Porter Jr. on Drake London. And I don't know how big of an advantage that's going to be for Drake. What I do know is that means Kyle Pitts needs to eat in the middle of the field. And so we'll see if that is the case. Obviously, you're dealing with some injury concern there now, but also we need to see how he's used. Need to see the play calls that Zach Robinson is making. And so once I see those things, if they can find a way to take full advantage of what Kyle Pitts can be, I mean, the offense could be off and running with or without Drake London in this first game. Let's continue the phone calls, 404-726-0929. What do you need to see in week one to confirm the optimism you've held all offseason about this Falcons squad? 404-726-0929. Line three, we've got Lance. What's up, Lance?
Hey, Abe, how's it going, man?
Doing good, man. What are your thoughts?
I think I need to see Jimmy Lake call a good game against the Steelers. I need to see a couple sacks, a couple turnovers. You got some new guys on the defense, and if the defense is giving up points, you're just going to have the reverse problem that we've had the past couple years. You know, past couple years, defense gives up 17 points, you lose 17-13. But this year, if Jimmy Lake doesn't call good defense, offense is going to score 28 points, you're giving up 31, and you're losing. So I need to see Jimmy Lake early using Judon, using Justin Simmons, and I need to see these guys clicking early.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Lance. And it's kind of funny. We're always questioning what an offensive coordinator does to manage the game. Defensive coordinators, for whatever reason, don't really get the same charge, right? Like, they're not tasked with they called a bad game. Usually, on offense, we might blame the offensive coordinator for calling bad plays, not using the right guys, et cetera, et cetera. For defense, it's the players who get the blame. It's very rarely the defensive coordinator who gets the blame. But I think to the point that Lance was making, I think there are going to be times where you bring pressure. There are going to be times when you drop into coverage. And you have to be smart with that, especially with a quarterback, at least for as long as he's in there, like Russell Wilson, who's probably not going to escape pressure too much, not at this stage of his career. You might bring more pressure than you would against, say, Justin Fields. And so I am very interested to see how he attacks the Steelers' offense, does Jimmy Lake. But so often we just blame the defensive players for not being able to limit the opposing team. The coordinator rarely gets that much accountability, unlike on offense when we kind of just put it all on the OC. Hey, he didn't call a good play. He didn't call for this guy. Didn't move that guy, whatever. And a lot of that has to do with Arthur Blank, you know, biting us in the behind how many times with wild play calls. So there's also that. Let's continue. What do you need to see? 404-726-0929. Again, I had a list of things that I'm looking for because I've been very optimistic all offseason, but I need to see it week one. Kirk Cousins' health. I got to see him out there. Zach Robinson's play calling. First time as a play calling OC. Let's get after it. How they use Kyle Pitts. How they use Bijan Robinson. I need to see the pass rush come from multiple places. It can't be all about Matthew Judon getting home. And I want to see the Falcons' second cornerback opposite A.J. Terrell make some big plays as well. We go to line four. We got James. What's up, James?
Yeah, man. You know, love your show. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to keep it simple. I'm satisfied with the way they're trying to get it done. I just want a win, a convincing win. That'll be enough for me. It'll be a start. It'll put me in the seat. That's all I want.
Yeah, I totally understood, James. And that's kind of what Dukes and Bell were kind of saying. Is like, they just want to see the win. Here's the thing. Like, if I'm right about this Falcons team, and, like, also if I'm right about the status of Russell Wilson and the state of his quarterback play, I don't know if the Falcons need their best game to beat this Steelers squad. And so, yeah, I obviously you need to see a win. Like, none of this stuff that I'm mentioning is going to matter if you don't win. Like, in no world can I be happy if this happens, that happens, this. If the five things on my list all happen, but you lose the game, yeah, there is no, like, confirmation of the optimism. It's all negative. And so, I guess I should have had win on there as well, and just, like, as the obvious. But for some, it is that simple. For me, it's a little bit beyond just getting the win, because I think you could get the win and not necessarily confirm my beliefs, not necessarily sell me. That's why I want to see some other things. Yeah, you got to get the win. I want to see a couple things along with that as well. 404-726-0929. What are you looking for here in week one against the Steelers to really drive home the optimism that you've held all offseason? Line five, we got Sam. What's up, Sam?
What's going on? Thanks for taking my call. Well, I mean, two things I need to see, two basic things. First and foremost, I need to see a healthy Kirk Cousins that is protected. We paid $100 million guaranteed for a 36-year-old quarterback coming off a busted Achilles who has one playoff win in his career. I was never on board with the signing. But if he can play his game and the O-line can protect him, that's a way to start. If that's not there, this entire plan goes down the tubes. And secondly, we got to have some kind of pass rush. I mean, it would be nice if we were the 85 Bears, but we just cannot continue to be the post-John Abraham Falcons. This has been going on for almost a decade. This cannot continue. So if we can protect Kirk Cousins and he can produce, move around, and at least show that he's healthy, and if we get some semblance of pass rush, I'll be okay with that.
Sam, I think that's a great place to start, right? you pick up a win. You find the faith and belief in your quarterback that the franchise had the entire offseason and most of us fans as well. And you can maybe find an answer to the one question we've had since the Super Bowl run, who's getting home to the quarterback. That the backbone of the offense, right? Backbone of the defense. You can show me that in week one. I think we can really start to ramp this up along with obviously getting the win. All right, we've got pretty much full phone lines. I got to hit a break. We got to get a Braves update as well. But when we come back, we're going to continue on this same discussion. What are you hoping to see? What do you need to see in week one to drive home? We've all had this hugely optimistic offseason. We put really high standards on the Falcons. Now we're going to get a chance to see it. Besides the win, what do you need to see week one to really confirm those beliefs? More of this discussion coming up in about 5 minutes. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here, live in the Key Studios, Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game tonight. Promise you a Brave update. I got a better one than I thought I'd have, baby. Marcell Ozuna doubles. Matt Olson doubles behind him. He scores, Ozuna. Braves go up 1-0. Two outs. Jared Kelnick comes up and smacks a three-run bomb into the chop house. And so it is 4-0 Atlanta Braves, bottom of the first inning. Charlie Morton is on the mound. He worked out of a little bit of trouble in the first inning, so we'll keep an eye on that as we get through it. Again, the Braves have got to keep winning because the Mets are breathing right down their necks. The Mets are a half game behind the Braves. The Mets have won six in a row, and they're taking on the Red Sox tonight. We'll keep an eye on that score as well. I want to continue and get right back into this Falcons discussion. And again, it's Abe Gordon here on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Follow me on Twitter /X at Abe Gordon. And the question's simple. What do I need to see? What do you need to see in week one to be real big believers in the Falcons this season? Look, we've all had the optimism all offseason, but there's a couple things I just really want to see week one, along with the win, obviously, that'll really drive home the faith I have in this team. And one of them's Kirk Cousins' health. We didn't see it in any preseason games. I want to see it. Zach Robinson's play calling, first time OC. Get creative. Let's go. How he uses Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson is part of that. Kyle Pitts' health now also part of that. The pass rush cannot come from just Matthew Judon. Needs to be from multiple places looking for that. And how the second cornerback opposite A.J. Terrell performs with some help in the secondary, the safeties behind him. I want to see that. Those are the five things I'm looking for to really drive home the optimism I've held all offseason that the Falcons are in this group with the Eagles and the Packers and the Lions and whoever else you want to put right behind the 49ers. That's what I have. What say you? What do the Falcons need to show you week one for you to truly believe and be sold, confirm the optimism you've held all offseason? We start in this segment with Derek. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Abe.
Howdy, man. What's up?
So the Zach Robinson play calling, I'm going to touch right on that right away. 11 personnel. I need to see who is going to be stepping up as the 2 and the 3 wide receiver. I know we've got Darnell Mooney and Ray-Ray McCloud. I'm pretty high on Ray-Ray. So I really want to see the production coming from that supporting cast, not just big plays from Kyle Pitts and Drake London, but I really got to see that from our 2 and 3 wide receiver. The other side of the ball, I'm right there with you. Second cornerback, the NFL is notorious for picking on the second cornerback, and it's happened in the Falcons history in big games, and I just don't want to see that. You know, I want to see a complete game from everybody on the defense. But, you know, back to the offensive side, just the big plays. Like, the only big play I can think of from last season was in the Bucs game with Drake London going sky high for that ball that Desmond Ridder launched out. That has to happen game one. If they're just mucking it up and turning the ball over, and we're not getting turnovers, and we're not creating big plays, this fan base will go downhill quickly. And that's just my opinion, but we are excited. We want to see the big play. That's all I got.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. And this is my optimism and excitement about Zach Robinson is I think we will, but we also need to see it. And that's why it was one of my reasons, the things that I'm looking forward to. I think he's in that group, right? We talk about the Bobby Slowicks and you know, Mike McDaniels, Sean McVay, Shanahan. I do think he can be one of those guys that you're like, man, this guy's calling a great game. He's getting guys open. He's breaking down defenses, and we just need to see it. Line two, we got Daniel. What's up, Daniel? Daniel, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, you got it, man. What's up?
Oh, it's Dave.
All good, so, Dave. What's going on?
So I don't want to see Younghoe Koo inside the 20 this year.
Yeah, great call.
I want to see red zone touchdowns this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that also like leans into the Zach Robinson play calling, and he's 100% right. Like I had a stat last year where the Falcons led the league in field goals under 23 yards long or something like that, or like the amount of field goals that Younghoe Koo had from 19 and in, and you're dealing at that point with Arthur Smith and wild play calling, not using Bijan Robinson and the run, like just nonsense. And I think Daniel's right. I think red zone efficiency is certainly one thing I want to see. To me, that goes, though, into what I said about Zach Robinson and also what I say about the usage of Kyle Pitts and the usage of Bijan Robinson as well. And so I think all of those things kind of get dialed into one. But, yeah, like he's right. The Falcons need to score touchdowns, not field goals. There's no denying that. There's no way around it. That's one of the keys for every team in every game. Finish your drives in the red zone, right? And so the Falcons are no different. We continue on the phones. We got Jerry. What's up, Jerry?
Is that for me?
Yep. Yeah, what's up, man? All right, we'll move on. We got Porter. What's going on, Porter?
Hey, man. I'm gonna get straight to it. I need Bijan Robinson to hold on to the football.
Okay. That's fair.
That's the first and foremost. I need him to hold on to the football. I do need Kyle Pitts to step up this year.
Yeah.
For me, this is my last year with Kyle Pitts. I'm a big Georgia fan, so, you know, I saw what he did in college, and I felt some type of way when the Falcons drafted him that early. But this year, for me, is the make and break. If not, we got to let him go. On the defensive side of the ball, like you said, we need pass rush. Grady Jarrett needs help from those guys up front. The safeties and the corners, I think they'll be fine, but we've got to get some pressure on Russell Wilson. And we'll beat Pittsburgh, you know.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Porter. And look, Bijan Robinson, the fumbling issues, they were real. Like they were there. And so that's certainly something that needs to get righted as well. Final call on this, we go to Jay on line 6. What's up, Jay? Jay's gone? All right. Well, I appreciate all the phone calls, all the discussion. Look, a lot of things trended, and Oren, I want to get your thoughts here. A lot of things kind of did trend in the same direction here, and that is the offense, the creativity, the play calling, the usage, the Kyle Pitts of it all. Yeah, like, that's what we need to see. There's no way around it. Oren, you've heard what I had to say. You've heard a number of callers as well on this topic. What are you looking for in week one to kind of drive home the optimism that has carried Falcons fans this offseason?
Josh Kendall put a stat in an article in The Athletic yesterday, and it was a very just, wasn't it, you know, it wasn't a crazy stat, but it just illustrates the point that the Falcons need to do this thing this year because they have not done it in the past 10 years. The past 5 and 10 years, the Falcons are dead last in the NFL in sacks. The two quarterbacks that they're facing on Sunday, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, are the two most sacked quarterbacks since 2001. 2021, excuse me, 2021. They need to sack the quarterback on Sunday. If you want to get people enthused about this team, show them something that you haven't shown them in the past few years. Like, I get, you know, quarterback play is going to be one thing, but sack the quarterback, man. Like, legitimately bring the quarterback down. Sack the quarterback. That's – it boils down to that. When you're the last ranked team in the NFL over the past 10 years for sacking the quarterback, sack the quarterback, please.
Yeah, and again, that was one of mine. It needs to come from more than just Matthew Judon. I think that's an important part of it as well. Real quick. We still have a little bit of time here in this segment. Raheem Morris joined Dukes and Bell earlier today. He's going to be joining every week, and the day may change based on whether you're playing on Thursday night or on Monday night like the Falcons do in week two. But Raheem Morris was on with Dukes and Bell earlier today, and they started by talking about the one subject that was on everyone's minds once the news came out today, and that was Kyle Pitts. And they asked him, they said, hey, everyone's nervous. What's the update?
He got a hamstring a little couple weeks back, and you know, he's been dealing with it. You know, a while ago, not a while ago, but he's been dealing with it a little bit, and like, he's been fine. He's limited, and we just want to be transparent with all those things that's going on with us and how we're going about our business, and make sure we report things the right way. And Kyle went out and practiced today. He had a limited reps. We did about 75% of his reps, and he got a nice workload. He got a nice lather. He got a chance to run around a bunch, and he feels really good. So we're really excited about getting him out there ready to play. And just throughout the remainder of the season, you know, it happened right there, right before we kind of left and had that couple of days off. And he did a nice job of being here over the weekend and really working with the guys and getting back ready. So we are fired up for him. We're fired up for us and fired up to get him out there playing.
Coach, I know it has, but the intensity's going up, right? I mean, like the way that you approach things this week, I said to our audience, like, this is game week. Like, this is a work week. Today, you know, we've been practicing and getting ready for Pittsburgh, but talk about that intensity, and then what concerns you about the Steelers heading into Sunday?
I think it's just the detail and the more precise arrow-throwing type urgency that you put into it. I don't know if it's necessarily the intensity. I think it's the detailed, structured looking and actually studying someone else to find out what you can pinpoint accurately and go attack. And I think that's the difference in this week and the weeks before that. The weeks before that may have been more execution. It's been more about us. It's still about us, but at the same time, you have some real focus points that you can go out there, you can really pinpoint and really lock in on. And for the players, it gives them something actually to study in on, right? I don't think, you know, Drake London was going home studying A.J. Terrell at night, but I certainly know he's going to go home and study the person he's going against, his matchup against him this week. So, you know, when you're talking about those guys, you're talking about Porter, and you're talking about the guys that they're going to be able to play with. So, like, you really feel good about that. That's the stuff that changed. That's what makes it more intentful. That's what makes the urgency feel like it's increased. But it's just the intent, precise, detail, arrows being thrown by each particular team that allows this thing to go to where you think it should go.
I know you had some fun with the media saying you spoke with Tomlin, and yeah, it's going to be Justin Fields, but what are you expecting them to do? And you got a great relationship with Coach Tomlin, but what are you expecting from them to do at quarterback?
You know, you can expect the expected. You know, Russell's going to start. You know, Tomlin's going to have some type of things that he wants to do with people, and he's going to try to play the amount of players that he has and he feels capable at his pleasure to go out and get a win for him, right? So with that being said, we've seen that whole organization have a Hines Ward with their starting quarterback. They had to come out there with a slash. We've seen all the different things that they've been able to do in the past, whether it's been Tomlin or Cowher as the coach, and how creative they can be just from an organizational standpoint and how they want to go out there and win football games. So I just kind of expect it when you're talking about those things. I know how creative Arthur Smith can be. We've seen that for the last couple of years here with the amount of personnel groups he was able to use when he was here. So the quarterback is not exclusive to that, and we expect it.
Let's talk about our quarterback, Ra. It's Coach Raheem Morris, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, our weekly visit as we head into week one against the Steelers at Mercedes-Benz on Sunday. I've been saying there are no worries. Like, we've seen him scramble and you blow the whistle early. Like, there's nothing to be concerned about. How do you feel about Kirk heading into week one?
There was no whistle this week, and everything was full go. Let him go, right? You protect him until it's time to go. You mitigate injury as much as you can. But now it's go time, and he looks great. Watching him run, watching him move, you know, it's not Justin Fields-esque, but it looks more like Forrest Gump. And he can get out there and really get after him. You know, my guy still got some speed left in the tank, and he's ready to show the world.
All right, man. Raheem Morris is with us here, guys. We know that the Steelers fans, it's a heritage team. And we're, hopefully with you coming back and being the head coach, we're going to stop having opposing fans in our stadium. But, I mean, are you hyped into the energy level? It's going to be off the chart. How excited are you to get back and be the man in charge?
I mean, I just love that our fans have a chance to match the energy. The Steelers are one of those teams that travel really well. Right now in Atlanta, we had a big-time tragedy today with there being a school shooting. And, you know, we got a bunch of heavy hearts in this building. We have a bunch of heavy hearts in that stands. And we know with us going out there playing well and the guys cheering for us and really pumping things up, we know that's going to get things going. We've seen what these type of tragedies do to cities. And when that stuff happens, man, people are really jumping behind each other, and they go. And our hearts go out to those families. And now we got a chance to repay those guys in our stadium on Sunday, and that's what we plan on doing.
That's Raheem Morris earlier today with Duke Sabel. He's going to be joining every single week with the afternoon fellas. So appreciate him doing that. Nice job by the guys getting some good info there on the preparation for the Steelers. All right. That's it for hour number one. It went by in a blaze. We got 2 hours left, though, when we come back. We talked about it being the opening game for the Atlanta Falcons. Well, it's the opening week for everyone in the NFL. Let's go through it. I got at least one thought on every single game. Two thoughts on a couple of these games. So we'll go through the schedule, share some thoughts, what I'm looking for as well on the other side. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon live in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, in the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.